Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello again, and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Last week our programme was all about ignorance, so to balance things up this week, the theme is wisdom. Let's begin our quest for wisdom from the very depths of ignorance. Let's take a tip from someone who has graduated from the School of Hard Knocks, a tip from someone who's made many mistakes, but who is streetwise. Here's Kenny Rogers singing The Gambler.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser. The best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold on, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up,
when to hold up,
know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done.
Wisdom is much more than mere knowledge. You can get foolish experts. You can also get clever devils. You can teach knowledge, facts, data, information, much easier than helping people to become wise. Wisdom is not necessarily academic. Someone says, "What do you mean you can't change a plug? What do they teach you at university?" You can know a lot more about some things while being silly in other ways. You know, the absent-minded professor. Every profession has its own wisdom. Take the police detective, for example. I know of one who puts stolen goods on a table and then gets all the suspects to walk round the table one by one, and he watches their eyes to see which one of them recognises the stolen goods. Or teachers, they're famous for having eyes in the back of their heads, being able to spot misbehaviour conducted behind their backs. How do they do it? Well, if they wear spectacles, when they face the blackboard close up, they can see reflected in their spectacles like a mirror what's going on behind them. A very wise fisherman in Fraserburgh, and a very successful one too, said, "There's a shipwreck out there, and shipwrecks attract shoals of fish. So there's about to be a race to get there to catch the fish. But in this race, I will make sure that I arrive second, not first." Why is that? Because it's risky when you fish around a shipwreck. It's very easy to get your nets caught and damaged. When the first boat risks its nets, it will catch a lot of fish, but the rest of the shoals will flee from the disturbance. I'll catch them escaping at no risk to my nets. Housewives have tricks to their trade. DIY people have hints and tips and wisdoms too. Even bachelors have learned a few tricks, like leave the dishes till your mother arrives. You get nagged, but well, it's worth it, the dishes get done. Or don't shift a king-size mattress on your own. Just put your pillow at the other end of the bed every so often. Anyway, before I give away too many wisdoms, or is it follies, here is Kenny Rogers again with a judge who learned a lesson in his line of business.
In Cumberland, Kentucky, on a cool autumn evening, Billy lay in love with Mary Ann. She was a rich judge's daughter. He was the son of a miner. But that night their love was more than they could stand. The judge said to his daughter, "That son of that coal miner is someone you'd do well to leave alone." She knew her dad so well, she knew she couldn't tell, but the truth was bound to show before too long. Their love had started growing on its own. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. Billy placed his hand on Mary, and he felt the baby moving. Kissed her and said, "I'll see you when I can." The judge had made a promise when he caught up with Billy. He'd send him far away from Mary Ann. The whole town knew he'd do it. Too many times he had proved it to at least 100 men behind the wall. He'd smile behind that frown, and when he brought that gavel down, he called himself the long arm of the law. And he'd set his mind on seeing Billy fall. In a hot and humid mine shack, a midwife pulled the sheet back and placed a cool damp towel on Mary Ann. Billy's eyes were wide with wonder from the spell he was under when she placed the newborn baby in his hands. He didn't hear the siren, just the baby crying. That miracle of love is all he saw. When the door came crashing down and Billy turned around, he felt the heart and soul inside him fall. stood face to face with the long arm of the law. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. You can hide out for a while, he says with a smile, but you can't outrun the long arm of the law. Seemed like everybody down in Cumberland, Kentucky came out that day to see poor Billy's trial. The court was called to order. There sat the judge's daughter. She looked so proud holding Billy's child. When they brought Billy to him, the judge just looked right through him as he held that holy Bible in his hand. And he smiled at his grandson, then his eyes cut back to Billy, said, I think this time the law will understand. Son, I sentence you to life with Mary Ann. You can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law. He said to Billy with a smile, I know you hit out for a while, but you can't outrun the long arm of the law. No, you can't outrun the long arm of the law.
Even humble bumblebees are wise enough to distinguish a real flower from an artificial one. There was a rich father who had three sons, and they worried about which one would be best to trust his inheritance to. So he tested them. He said, your challenge is to fill the whole house for under £1. The first son, he bought feathers, but there weren't enough feathers to fill the whole house. The second son got some sawdust, but not enough to fill the house either. The third son was wiser. He bought a box of matches, and he lit one in every room. In the Bible, Solomon, the king of Israel, faced a difficult problem. Two women were claiming that they were the rightful mother of the same baby. How was he to decide who was the real mum? He listened to their two cases and then he said, it's too hard to decide, so to be fair, I'll just have to cut the baby in half and give you both an equal half. Then one of the women said, in that case, just give the child to this other woman. Solomon said, no, you are the mother, because you're more interested in the baby than in winning your case. Solomon showed some wisdom right at the start of his reign when he prayed passionately to God to give him the gift of wisdom so that he could govern wisely. Wisdom begins with an awareness of our ignorance and a willingness to ask for help. Jesus was asked a tricky question once. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? If he'd said yes, he would have been seen as a collaborator with the Roman invaders. But if he said no, he'd be seen as a rebel nationalist and probably get arrested for stirring trouble. Jesus asked to see a coin. Then he said, whose face is on it? Caesar's. Well, give to Caesar what is his and give to God what is his. Jesus is the person who gave Solomon his wisdom. We all wish we had the wisdom of Solomon, the wisdom of Christ. Here is John Denver articulating our heartfelt aspiration to be a bit wiser.
There are those who can live with the things they don't believe in. They are giving up their lives for something that is less than it can be. Some have longed for a home in a place of inspiration. Some will fill the emptiness inside by giving it all to the things that they believe. They believe. Maybe it's just the dream in me. Maybe it's just my style. Maybe it's just the freedom that I've found. Given the possibility of living up to the dream in me, you know that I'd be reaching for higher ground. I will stand on my own. I will live up to this vision. I will trust in what I feel and follow my heart until it brings me home. Bring me home. Maybe it's just the dream in me. Maybe it's just my style. Maybe it's just the freedom that I found. Given the possibility of living up to the dream in me, you know that I'll be reaching for higher ground. Keep me through the night. Lead me to the light. Teach me the magic of wonder. Give me the spirit to fly. Maybe it's just the dream in me. Maybe it's just my style. Maybe it's just the freedom that I've found. Given the possibility of living up to the dream in me, you know that I'll be reaching for higher ground. Maybe it's just the dream in me. Maybe it's just my style. Maybe it's just the freedom that I've found. Possibility of living up to the dream in me. You know that I'll be reaching for higher
ground. Wisdom begins when we know that we don't know, with an awareness of our ignorance. The more we know, the more we know we don't know. Socrates, the wise Greek philosopher, put it this way. No, I wouldn't say I'm the wisest man. In fact, I feel I know nothing. If I know anything, it's that I know nothing. In this respect, I may know one thing more than anyone else, namely that I know nothing, while they don't know yet that they know nothing. Anyway, while you're working all that out, here's Catherine Jenkins to sing Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, Forgive Our Foolish Ways.
Still tears of quietness, tears.
So what is wisdom? Well, wisdom is not knowing secret information. Wisdom is more being on God's wavelength. Wisdom is being a disciple of the Master, walking and talking with him all day, every day, until his wisdom rubs off on us. Wisdom is being a wise man and building our lives on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus, rather than a foolish man building our lives on sand. Jesus is wise. Look at his parables. Look at the things he did. Look at the way he lived. Jesus is the immortal, invisible, God-only wise living among us. Jesus doesn't just point us to the truth. He is truth. Truth is not statements and ideas. Truth is a person, him. Wisdom is to follow him. Folly is to go against him. Wisdom is to be Christ-like. James chapter 1 in the Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God for it, and it will be given." Wisdom is a gift, but it is willingly given. And the result is, well, let Don Francisco explain. The point is that wisdom is a gift from God, not something that we can achieve or demand or earn or buy. And wisdom reaches its climax not in self-satisfied smugness, but in humility. Fools wallow in their own high opinion of themselves. Wise people are only too aware of their ignorance and folly and shortcomings and failings. The great thing about omniscient, all-wise God is his humility within his greatness. God freely chose to become a helpless, ignorant baby in a manger. an unschooled toddler, a village semi-educated boy, all for our sake. And Paul the Apostle exhorts us to be like himself, a fool for Christ's sake. Remember Peter going overboard for Jesus and finding himself walking on water? Oh, the thrill of it! How wise his foolishness was! This last song celebrates God's wisdom in his foolishness as Jesus of Nazareth. So bye for now, and I leave you with Michael Card.
It seems I've imagined him all of my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened our eyes. To show we were wrong. So we follow God's own fool, for only the foolish can tell. Believe the unbelievable, come be a fool as well. So come your life for a carpenter's son, for a madman who died for a dream. And you'll have the faith his first followers had, and you'll feel the weight of the beam. So surrender the hunger to say you must know, and the courage to say I believe. For the power of paradox opens your eyes, say they can see. When we in our